Okay, Akiva, so let's go from a show where comedians make fun of each other, and let's make fun of another TV show. A shockingly not so terrible, or is it terrible, TV show that premiered last Thursday that you and I were both very excited about. And here to discuss it as well, we have Nina Stoddard on the podcast. So Nina, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing good. Excited to talk Riverdale with you guys today.
Yeah, so we're here to talk Riverdale. So let's, even before we get into it, let me ask the question, like, what did you know about this show before you watched the premiere, Nina?
I knew that it was based on Archie, and then it had a noir look from the commercials, and that was about it.
So all you had seen was the commercials, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
Okay, and Akiva, what about you?
Well, also, I want to hear from Nina, like, what is your, you know, what's your experience with Archie comics in general?
Your Archie background. Yeah.
Your Archie background.
Why are you here? Why are you our guest today? That's a good question.
No, well, obviously you lead Chester. The problem is you asked a dumb question, which is like, you know, you start with the Archie fandom.
Right. So obviously growing up, it was the comic book in the grocery aisle. So I was, if I was a good girl, I got the Archie comics. And then I also had a super religious cousin who didn't have television. And all she had was, like, this extensive collection of Archie comics. So I would say that I've read 150 Archie digests, somewhere around in there. But I'll admit it's been a few years since I picked one up.
Nina, how old are you?
What? You can't ask a woman that question?
No! I have a reason!
No, Nina, you don't have to answer that.
She doesn't have to answer. She doesn't have, if she doesn't want to.
I was going to say, did we break it down into the different numbers? No, I just turned 34 in January.
Oh, so you're our age. Okay, you're our age.
You're yeah, exactly our age.
You're literally our age. Okay. I mean, we're 33, but you're just born at the beginning of the
no,
year.
No, so, well, so hey, that's.
I just turned 34.
Yeah, so that's.
You were born in 83 like us.
Yeah,
we're all 83. Yeah, exactly, 83.
So that's, well, the reason that's relevant is because. Why? Well, I'll tell you. Okay, so like you know, like you guys, my peak Archie reading age was probably from like 9 to like 14 or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And I don't think I've seen an Archie since then. But, you know, because of my hair being, you know, I aggressively hate redheads, and so I would deny it. But, you know, my hair, let's say, shades towards Auburn sometimes, and my general winning personality, people have from time to time told me that I look like Archie, or have called me Archie. So one year, my senior year of college, so this would have been 2004, 2005, for Purim, which is like the Jewish Halloween, I decided to dress up as Archie. So I drew the little three freckles on each cheek, and I parted my hair down the middle, and I wore like the big, the sweater vest with the big R for Riverdale on it. And every single senior and junior who I saw dressed up in costume instantly knew who I was, obviously. But every single freshman and sophomore, I mean every single one, and it was shocking, had no idea who I was. And they're like, what are you? Like, are you dressed as a nerd? Are you a Republican? Because of the R. Like, nobody knew who I was. And I'd say Archie, and they'd stare at me like I was insane. And I'm not talking about a generational shift. These were people 2 years younger than us. And nobody knew who Archie was, which kind of boggles my mind.
I think I could answer that in that, like, if you didn't read Archie, it's like tennis. Like, if you're not a serious tennis player when you're, you know, a kid, you've never played tennis once in your life.
It's completely the opposite of that. I wasn't a serious Archie reader. It's just Archies were, like, around.
No,
if you ever, like,
no, my analogy was great. I'd say half of my friends growing up had never touched a tennis racket when we finished high school. But most of the other half, like, didn't play tennis every day, but, like, knew how to play tennis.
No, that's a terrible analogy. I actually said to my wife the other day, I said to her, have you ever met a person who actually purchased an Archie comic? Because I never did. They were just there. Like,
the reason
like,
why
some
I
of your friends.
Them is my parents had a friend who like finished high school or something, moved away, the girl, and she's like, hey, do you want Archie comics? And she brought me over a box of like 500 like double digests when I was a little kid. And that's where I read all of them.
And so Nina said that she got them when she was good, and you got them from a neighbor. So you guys both own them. I never owned them. It was just like I knew a couple people who did. Like at camp, inevitably, somebody right. in the bunk would have Archies.
Oh, yeah, those Archies would get passed around, no question. And I, the only one I ever purchased is I remember walking to a comic book store when they had Archie Meets the Punisher, which is weird because I hate comic book stuff, and I don't even know who the Punisher is now, and I didn't know who it was then. But they just like promoted it for a year. So I thought it was a big deal. So I remember I like walked to the comic book store to get that. But that's the only time I ever bought one with my own money.
Yeah, they had them at the grocery store when I was growing up, so they were always right there, and you just picked whichever one you hadn't read yet.
Yeah, it's the impulse purchase with, like, the small candy bars.
Yeah,
but exactly. the appeal of the Archie was that you could open up an Archie comic and you would have no idea if it was published in 1965 or 1995.
Right.
Which is why the idea of purchasing one is so crazy to me, because everyone I ever read, especially was dog-eared, I assumed it, you know, that it had been around for years. And so I'll use that as a segue to talk about this show. So I think Akiva and I, you know, we saw the previews for the show, and it just looked like so absurd, such unintentional comedy. Like, what have they done to Archie? And that's all I knew about it going in. I knew nothing else. And then Akiva said to me, you know, like, these reviews are actually really positive for it. Seppenwall and some other reviewers. And I saw some of the, like, the links, but I intentionally did not click on them. I did not read them. I didn't want to know anything about it until after I watched the episode. But after I watched the episode, I did read a couple of them. And I just wanted to read a couple sentences from an article on Vulture. It says, as it turns out, Archie Comics has been experimenting with this mixture. They're talking about how they're, you know, branching off into new things such as this show. For the better part of a revolutionary decade, successfully embracing new narrative approaches to tales about their 76-year-old teenagers. In recent years, the gang has done battle with zombies, extraterrestrial serial killers, and flying sharks. They've navigated unsatisfying marriages, they've explored unconventional sexual identities, and mourned fallen companions. They even traveled through time to play at CBGB with the Ramones. In doing so, the brand has garnered acclaim, attention, and a newfound coolness that had eluded it for the previous half century. The Archie Renaissance is upon us. Now, I feel 180 degrees opposite from that. When I read this paragraph, I don't want to give them a claim and attention. I think that sounds terrible. Like, Archie is Archie. Why are you ruining Archie? What do you guys think?
No, I think you're right. I remember seeing a couple years back just in the news that they had introduced Kevin, who we see on the show, as the first gay Archie character, but not like as a we're trying to branch out. It kind of seemed like the idea of, oh, we need to do this thing to stay relevant. And that's what I would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, that was news when they had Kevin. And then I also do remember hearing about they did like a Sliding Doors version where like Archie married Betty in one and Veronica in the other. And like they went to the future.
And there's another one where he died. Though, like, if you do something really big, then it gets.
Didn't
like
he die saving Kevin's life or something?
Yes. Yeah, he died saving Kevin's life, according to the probably the same article we both read.
No. I remember hearing about this at the time it happened a few years ago.
It was led the national news that night. I think you're right with what you said like 10 minutes ago, that anybody who didn't read Archie comics, like, there's no reason for them to hear of them, because unlike in the 70s where like they had a hit song and, you know, they sort of existed in pop culture, all they have is the comics. Like, they've never had a TV show. They had one made for TV movie in the early 90s, which was very forgettable, and you know there's nothing. So if you didn't read the comics, Archie is not like you might occasionally in the wild hear like a Betty Veronica reference, but it doesn't really exist in pop culture.
Yeah, the spinoffs are way more popular, I would say, now than the Archies ever are. I mean, Josie and the Pussycats or Sabrina the Teenage Witch are the two you hear a lot more of than the original Archies.
That's a good point. I wonder if they have Sabrina come into this world. That would be interesting, actually.
But Akiva, see, I disagree with you. People our age make Archie references all the time, I feel like.
People would get an Archie reference for the most part, but I don't think...
Well, but apparently not people younger than us. That's, you know, again, like my experience on Purim in college. You know, for our millennial listeners, we have to sort of explain what the show is, because they don't even know, apparently.
And it's worth pointing out that even though the show got good reviews and the network was really high on it, the ratings were not good at all.
Well, so the thing is, this, you know, not that I see a lot of CW shows, but this seemed to me, at least based on the stereotype, to be just a stereotypical sort of, you know, CW type show like Gossip Girl or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I've never really seen one. Do you watch the CW, Nina?
I watched the like half of this first season of The 100, but that's about as far as it goes. Not a big CW.
But you guys are aware of, like, Gossip Girl, like, what it is or what
sure,
it was.
And that's not even on anymore. But, yeah, my sister watches a lot of, like, but now it's superhero stuff. Now it's, like, I don't even know the names of the shows, but my sister watches a bunch of them, and she's, you know, a 10th grader.
Do you guys remember a couple of years ago, Funny or Die had a little video, which was, like, I thought it was fake at the time, although apparently it's real because that's the show we just all watched Thursday night, of, like, turning the Archie world into, like, a horror?
No.
Like, they had, like, real-life actors playing and, like, turning it into, like, a horror... Well, anyways, that's basically what this show is. So, yeah, let's jump into the episode. So, Riverdale starts. It's the same characters we know, but, you know, they're real life. The episode starts with a narrator who is presumably Jughead, who we see writing an article telling us about this death that happened last July 4th, by drowning after we see these two creepy, well-dressed, and possibly incestuous siblings go on a boat ride. So I need to ask you guys right off the bat. Did you guys remember Jason Blossom or even – I mean, I had a vague recollection of Cheryl Blossom, but Jason Blossom from the comics, do you remember him at all?
No, I definitely remembered Cheryl because she was always a little bit more buxom than the other girls. But I had no recollection of the brother Jason.
Yeah. According to my research, it says that Cheryl was introduced in 1982.
She was, but she wasn't, I don't think, a regular until the mid-90s. She became like...
Well, it says that after 2 years, her and her brother would disappear because she was deemed too sexy for a kid's comic.
Yeah. But I remember when she came back.
Nina's very religious cousin would not have appreciated this.
No. When I left, Cheryl was firmly in the picture in the mid 90s.
Oh, she was in your picture even the mid 90s.
Yeah, and she was firm, so story checks out.
Jason, I remember that he existed, but he was listen, he's a minor enough character that you could kill him in the first second of the pilot, you know. He's clearly not important in the comics lore.
Yeah, so he dies, and then 10 seconds into the episode, some evil mom, who we will later discover is Betty's mom, which is insane, she says, "May Jason Blossom burn in hell."
Yeah, Betty's mom is a hateful bitch.
And so, yeah, we don't exactly know what that's about yet. Then we see Veronica moving to town with her mom into some kind of, like, downtown pied-a-terre. I didn't know that Riverdale was had high-rise apartment buildings.
I know,
downtown.
This is weird. This does not exist in Riverdale. I'm sorry. And they need to be much richer than that. I know that they're in, the hiding money Madoff thing, but... which is what they get into, but I don't know. The lodges are like cartoon rich, you know?
Did we ever see Veronica's mom in the cartoon, in
the
comics?
She was minor. The dad, Hiram, is a much bigger deal than the mom.
Yeah. You know, what's your take on the actress who plays Veronica here?
She's not very Veronica-ish. I think of all the characters, she's the one that seems to be the most... off-brand. She actually has a depth and a possible interesting storyline, so not very much like Veronica, but I think it's an improvement. I like it.
Well, actually, we'll get in trouble for saying this, but Nina could probably say it. Veronica's supposed to be 5% prettier than Betty.
Oh, and no. She's, you don't know anything about Archie. No, Veronica and Betty are completely... No. Veronica
and Veronica's supposed to be hot.
Well, her that's their personalities. But in terms of looks, they're literally the same person with different color hair.
But the actress...
That's the whole famous thing.
No, that's not famous. You just made that up.
Wait, are you kidding? Hold on. Pause. Are you not aware of that? That Betty and Veronica are the same, are drawn exactly the same, but with different color hair?
That's the whole point. I thought you meant their personalities. No, physically, okay.
No, their looks, yeah. That's why I was so upset when this dark-skinned actress comes on stage. I wanted to see the exact same actress.
Oh. And you also said you want less roles for Hispanic people, you told me before.
No, I don't care. They could have made up Betty and Veronica black, white, Asian, I don't care, but they needed to have identical twins playing both of them with different color wigs.
Oh, that would have been interesting, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting.
Okay.
All right, so anyway, so then we see Betty changing while she's hanging out with Kevin. Again, I haven't read the cartoons in the comics in many years. I don't exactly know, but I assume that in the comics, Kevin is a normal guy who happens to be gay. But in the show, he is the most stereotypical, over-the-top gay best friend, Veronica even makes fun of him for that.
Yeah, they say he's that pretty early in the show.
Yeah, but he's such a stereotype. And he also seems to have a much bigger role than he probably does in the comics.
Yeah, well, I think it's keeping with the show. I mean, you could make a bingo card for this show with so many of these tropes that keep popping up, so... Gay best friend, go ahead and check that box.
Yeah. And then, so they're gabbing about how, Betty likes Archie. Oh, by the way, we also need to mention here that they are playing peak. It's the summer. It's the end of the summer of freshman year of high school. They are about to begin sophomore year of high school. So these kids are going into 10th grade. So they're 14, 15 years old.
Well, they obviously do that because they can't leave Riverdale High for at least 3 years, till the show's established.
Yeah. But the problem is that there's not a single actor in the show who's under the age of, 25?
No.
I mean, it's absurd.
No one's over 25 in high school. A bunch of the actors are 21.
There is no way a single member of this cast is under 21 years old.
No, a bunch of them are 21.
Okay, but they look much older than that.
And also, IMDb this year took off ages, so when I went to check them up, it was...
It is
nice.
Impossible to believe that any of these people are in high school, let alone sophomores in high school. It's insane.
Oh, did you see The Edge of 17, the movie, Nina?
Oh, no, I didn't see that one.
The love interest in that movie is 33, and they're in high school. It's insane.
What's the age, the difference in age between the actors who are playing the parents and the kids in Riverdale?
I think Veronica is maybe 15 years younger than her mom.
I was going to guess like six.
Yeah, it's not. It would be funny if they were like, if they were identical twins. Veronica is not much younger than her mom. That is kind of crazy.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, so Betty and Archie, they go on a date or a non-date to Pop's. By the way, Pop is black. I like that. You know, they're bringing a little bit of diversity in.
But here's the thing. The guy who made the show is like, the showrunner of the show is like the main guy in Archie Comics, or one of the main guys. So it's not like he's unaware. Like, I'm sure I'm going to complain later about a few things that aren't consistent from the show. That are easy enough that they should be. But, like, there's nothing we know that he doesn't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, anything they forgot, or at least didn't put in episode one, it was not an accident. So, like, they snuck in a lot of little things, like trying to put in as many of the characters as they can, and you know, like having, you know, Veronica call Archie Kins right after she meets him. But,
Well, that's why I was wondering, is this show targeted towards Archie fans like our generation, or is it targeted towards the you know, the teens or the tweens who usually watch CW, and it just has this sort of veneer of Archiness as sort of as like an inside joke? Because it's not, it's so far removed, not just like, not just the color that it's dark and dramatic, but like they as you said, they make so many things different from the comic that didn't need to be.
Yeah, no, it's definitely targeted towards there's not enough Archie comic readers to target towards them. They're just there for, like, the inside jokes. Like, the same way, like, grown-ups can watch, like, a kid's movie nowadays and get some of the jokes that other people can't, but, like, they're not the target audience. The kids are.
All right, so Betty and Archie are at Pop's. Betty's about to tell Archie how she feels when Veronica walks in. Again, this was heartbreaking to me because it made it obvious that they were not going to be the same actor with different color hair as they are in the comic. The other thing, by the way, is Archie has no freckles. Like, Archie's freckles are iconic. Why does he have no freckles in this show?
Who cares? What else we got?
All right, fine. So we'll fast forward. It's the first day of school. We're meeting Archie's dad, who is approximately a million times hotter than he is in the comics. I think it's actually Luke Perry. Was that Luke Perry?
Yeah, it's Luke Perry.
Then we see Betty's mom, who is also super hot. She's like a vamp for some reason. Now we learn that she's the one who wants Jason Blossom to burn in hell because apparently, like, he did something to Betty's older sister. Were you guys aware of Betty's older sister? Is she in the comic?
She's definitely not a regular. It's possible she has shown up at some point, but she's definitely not like a consistent character in that comic.
I can't think of any siblings. Like, in the comic, everybody's pretty much a single
Archie's
child.
An only child. Jughead is you. Also, sometimes it switches. Sometimes also, it's like the early seasons of Louie. Like, when they want them to be, you know, they can switch. Veronica's definitely an only child. Betty, I think, has a sibling.
I thought Betty had a younger sister.
Yeah, I think Betty had a Betty younger sister, and I think Jughead may have had a sibling sometimes. And obviously Cheryl has a twin brother, but not anymore.
So you guys don't seem bothered about this like I am, but like I get that they have to make all the kids older than they are and super good looking, because again, that they're appealing to, like, you know, the people who watch CW. But why do they have to make all the parents so hot? Like, why couldn't Archie's dad look like Archie's dad is supposed to? We haven't even got to Miss Grundy yet, obviously. We'll get to that one. But, like, Betty's mom is super hot. Archie's dad is super hot. Archie's parents are divorced, by the way, apparently.
You get that scene later, not to jump too far ahead, but you get the scene between Archie's dad and Veronica's mom. So I think we get a sense of why they needed to make their parents super hot. I think we're getting a side storyline going there.
Yeah, yeah. I don't approve of that. I assume you guys do not either.
No, not in season
not
one.
Favorite thing, no.
Hey, listen, we have Betty and Veronica making out 10 minutes into the show. Let's not be
curious
here.
Hey, spoiler alert. All right, now we see Archie. He's meeting up with his football buddies in school. Then we see Betty giving Veronica a tour because it's her first day because she just moved to Riverdale, apparently. Archie, by the way, I don't know if you guys noticed this. He's wearing a Letterman's jacket as a freshman.
Well, he's on the JV. Do JV people wear Lettermans?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not exactly sure why he got why does he have to try out for the team if he's already got a Letterman jacket? That doesn't really make any sense.
I mean, Archie in the comics is like a 30 sport star. Like, in every issue, he's like the captain of a different team.
Well, part of that is because the comic, there's only like 30 kids in the school, whereas here the school is like all of a sudden Riverdale's a massive city with a downtown and with high rises and still only one place to get a hamburger though.
Yeah. And it's weird because you'd think it would be easier to draw fake people than to pay them to actually look on the show.
All right, Kevin shows up. He asks Veronica if her dad is the devil. Like, Hiram is like super rich, but he's not Mr. Burns. Like, in the comics, like, Veronica loves her dad for sure. He's like, right? So this is definitely
a
departure.
She's a daddy's girl. She's a daddy's girl, totally.
Well, here she calls her dad the devil. She says she still likes him, but, you know.
Yeah, well, he's asking her about what if what they say about her dad is true. But she does say she stands by her dad, so I think there's still a relationship there. We just have to figure out what this whole mysterious money laundering scandal is.
I think it's just a Madoff thing.
We're going to see Hiram soon, right?
Oh, yeah. Hiram's coming. Archie's mom definitely. Is coming. The second,
oh, Archie's mom is coming. Okay.
The second, I'm sure. The second, and I think she's been cast by someone famous, so she's definitely coming. But the second Archie's dad gets with Veronica's mom, that's when both of them are going to show up.
Are there any other name actors in the cast other than Luke Perry?
Well, I think there's a lot of people who, like, aren't famous but are, like, somewhat known. I think Cheryl Blossom is, like, a well-known teen actress. Jughead is, like, one of these, like, Sweet Life kids, I think.
What's Sweet Life?
Like, it's a kid show. And then Archie's parents are Luke Perry and Molly Ringwald, so.
Oh, Molly. So there is a name actor coming.
Mm-hmm. And Betty's mom is, like, is a well-known actress. She's not super famous, but... She's been in a million things, Betty's mom.
You know, by the way, you know who they could have had to play that role, but again, they wanted somebody super attractive. They could have had the mom from, like, the American Pie series. What's that actress's name?
Stifler's mom?
Stifler's mom, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who, Jennifer Coolidge or something?
Yeah, this woman looks like a 20 years younger version of that, you know, that actress.
Okay.
And she's sort of playing up the same role, like she's angry. Anyways, all right, so Josie and the Pussycats are practicing. Josie calls Archie Justin Gingerlake, which I thought is a great line. That would do well in Roast Battle.
Yeah, that was a great one.
But they were also, like, so weird for, like, no purpose. Like, how annoying, how mean they were to him.
Well, because they're, like, serious musicians, and Archie's
tone,
just,
the tone in this episode changes in every scene. From, like, really conspiratorial to, like, happy to mysterious to, like, let's make a bunch of, let's do a roast of like, Archie at lunch. You know, it's every scene has a complete, it's like a totally different sketch.
Yeah, and I'm not even really sure why this scene is here. You have Josie talking about, we only do our own songs, you know, pay attention. And then by the time we get to the dance, they're already doing a cover. So I don't know why that whole plot is even in there.
Well, I think they just wanted to show everyone in the school, so people weren't like, "Where's Josie?" Like, they wanted to give, you know, they wanted to give everybody at least, like, a little. That, you know, the reason why they're starting with, like, Dilton Doily in the first 5 seconds, they want to give a bunch of Easter eggs and let them know, like, "Hey, all your old favorites are here." Although there's no Midge, right? We haven't seen Midge yet. I want to see Midge.
Big Ethel. That's my wife's favorite character. We didn't see Big Ethel either.
I think it's Ethel first of all, because there's no name Ethel.
I mean, Archie is something you read. You never said it out loud. How would I know?
Well, I'm sorry. I speak English, so I knew that Ethel is a name and Ethel is nothing.
Okay. Well, speaking of... Okay, well, I'm sure when we see Ethel, I'm sure she's going to be super hot, because the next scene is there's a memorial for Jason in the school gym. Archie and some smoking hot teacher are making sexy faces to each other. And then we see a flashback to the summer where we see Archie and this teacher having, like, passionate sex in the backseat of her car. And, oh, by the way, this teacher is Miss Grundy. Keith, can you describe what Miss Grundy looked like in the comics?
Yes, Miss Grundy was like a synonym for, like, a haggard, like, older lady. The Miss Grundy in the Archie movie from the early 90s, like, died of old age 5 years after the movie was filmed. She was 70. The actress who played her was 73. The actress who plays Miss Grundy is 33. Like, yeah, she's close in age to the students. It, like, if you're going to do this, make it a different name. Like, make this a fake character.
Yeah. She's literally, like, the least sexual person in history in the cartoons.
Yeah, I think she's, like, 60.
What if she was 73 and, like, Archie and her had a relationship? And that was Archie's, like, weird thing. And...
But wasn't there always some undertone, like, undercurrents of Mr. Weatherby and Miss Grundy would get together?
I think so. We didn't see Mr. Weatherby, right? We just
that's a big disappointment.
No, we heard about him, I'm sure. They just, like, didn't cast him for the pilot.
Oh, he should be coming, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, Weatherby, yeah, and who? Do you remember any of the other teachers' names, Nina? There's, like, a nerdy science teacher.
Oh, geez. No, those are the only two Dilton's that really stick out to me.
Dilton's friend.
Well, I feel like Dilton would have spent a lot of time in the science lab.
I'm sure they're best friends. But yeah, I think that anyone who's, like, not in the pilot, we'll probably see in the next few episodes.
Yeah. By the way, and again, I just want to come back to the fact that Miss Grundy and Archie were having sex in the backseat of his car. Like, he was in between freshman and sophomore year of high school.
A flute snoot. The science teacher, the Dilton science teacher is flute snoot.
Oh, that's right.
But anyways, Archie is 14 or 15 years old at the oldest. And he's having sex with a teacher. Like, that's literally... statutory rape.
Yeah, she is assaulting
him. As Adam Carolla likes to say, it can't be a crime if you masturbate to the memory of it, though. And given what Ms. Grundy looks like, and the fact that Archie, again, is probably only like 5 years younger than her in real life. So anyways, after the assembly, Archie goes to ask Ms. Grundy if he can, quote, talk to her about his, quote, music. Seems like he wants to reignite what happened over the summer.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly going to be like this big storyline, but I also think, like, I don't know how much legs it has. Like, I feel like it's one of these things that will be, like, solved within six episodes, and then I don't know if Miss Grundy's going to stick around. What's she gonna
you do? Know what's going to be solved within six episodes? This series. Like, you're very confident in its lasting.
That's true. The ratings for episode two need to pick up or else. And also, just the fact that it's, like, a mid-season show, it didn't make, like, the fall schedule, means they were, like, nervous about it, so.
How many episodes is the season one supposed to be?
I'm not sure.
I think 13 episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, first episode. Our first. Oh wow, that's confident. 13 episodes. Yeah.
Well, hopefully.
All right. So we have this next. We have this next scene now, which Nina referenced earlier, which makes no logical sense in any world. Veronica's mom visits Archie's dad and asks for a job. I understand the reason they're doing this is because they want to explain that Archie's parents are divorced, and they want to tell us that Veronica's mom once dated Archie's dad. But like. Why would she ever, like, even if she's acting like she's super poor, like, she wouldn't go work for Archie's dad. That makes no sense.
Unless she's just trying to get in his pants by working with him.
Like, they do tell us that Mr. Lodge is on trial for fraud and embezzlement, but, like, what does she, like, she's really rich. She should have attorneys. Like, she should have money squirreled away.
Like, but maybe she didn't until, like, the end of the episode when she gets the secret bag of money.
Yeah. All right, anyway, so that really, That makes no sense. Then we go back to school where Veronica joins, flamboyantly gay Kevin and Betty at lunch. And Cheryl stops by. I mean, Cheryl is like over, like even by Mean Girl standards, she's like way over the top.
Right, half the people in the show exist as like real people.
Yeah.
And then Cheryl Blossom is a cartoon character.
And Kevin is also.
Kevin is a cliche. But Cheryl Blossom is like, if she came next episode and like shot 10 people in the head. Who came to her house, like, it wouldn't be out of character.
Yeah. Yeah, so Cheryl stops by. She invites Veronica to cheerleader tryouts. She says she's going to bring Betty along. Veronica, by the way, raises a great point from the comics. When she finds out Archie plays football, she says, "You play football too? What don't you do?"
Yeah, he's definitely the cat. He's like, Archie's not even, that's not even his main sport in the comics. I think basketball's his main sport.
Yeah, but he's on the tennis team. He's doing everything in the comics. Yeah. Again, there's only it's the same people on all the teams. I think, like, Reggie's on every team. Yeah, I think even, like, Dilton's on every team. Moose is obviously on every team.
Oh, yeah, Moose should definitely be, like, football.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about Reggie when we saw him earlier, but they made him the broiest of the bros for this show.
Wait, did I miss Reggie? When did we see Reggie?
He's when in the school when Archie sees Moose and Reggie, and then he pops up again at the party also.
Oh, but he doesn't say much, does he?
No, he only has a few lines in the
show. He's asking about like what supplements he's taking and how he got so buffed up over the summer.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
more
yeah,
of a
yeah.
Bro
that's
bro
right.
Than like Reggie is essentially AC Slater. That's what Reggie is.
Well, but in the comics, Reggie's weird because in the one hand, he's like Archie's arch nemesis, super evil. But on the other hand, they're like totally best buds, and everything's just sort of a joke.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's AC Slater and Zach Morris also.
It's Jerry and Newman also a little bit to bring Seinfeld in.
No, Jerry and Newman like hate each other more than Archie and.
Do they? Do they really? They spend a lot of time together for people who hate each other.
But only because like you live in the same building, you see the same people.
Yeah, but like. The overwhelming majority of the people in my building, I've never got in their apartment, and they've never gone in mine. So if there's somebody actively that didn't like...
Who's inviting you over?
I'm not. Yeah, exactly. All right, okay, so now Archie goes to meet Miss Grundy, who not only is super hot, but she also went to Juilliard. And they make reference to the fact that they saw something scandalous this summer, but they haven't told anybody. Presumably it's about Jason. We don't know why they wouldn't have told anybody.
Well, they heard something. No, they heard something, and they weren't sure if it was fireworks.
Yeah.
And then we find out at the end that there's a gunshot, so ostensibly they heard the gunshot.
Yeah, we hear a little bit of Archie's music.
You watch the show, right? Just checking.
Yeah. Archie apparently already has, like, professional quality music, even though he just started doing it, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because, again, he's the ubermensch.
Yes.
Then we go to the cheerleading tryout for Veronica and Betty, which is, I think both of you already mentioned. They start making out because the show is on CW, and that's all they can show. Cheryl is, like, the most evil bitch in the world.
She's in charge of the whole school, I think.
Yeah.
Literally, there's no coach to the cheerleading team. A student gets to decide who's on the team without any input of an adult.
Well, but that's how it usually works, I think.
Oh, really?
Not that I was a cheerleader in high school.
Cheerleaders?
Doesn't the captain of the cheerleaders run themselves? Right?
No.
That's how most things work in high.
I mean, there's a cheerleader coach. Like that's like a full-time job at like a big school.
Yeah. Well, okay, fine. That's fair.
We'd be at tryouts.
Yeah. Yeah, so Cheryl's mocking Betty about how her brother, by the way, her brother who just died, she has no, like, sadness whatsoever, but she's like, she's mocking Betty about how Jason drove Betty's older sister to a mental breakdown. But then when Cheryl, like, evilly rejects Betty from cheerleader squad, Veronica rips her a new one, which is obviously sort of the most satisfying moment in the opening episode. Akima was more satisfied when Betty and Veronica were making out.
Well, there's not really any reason why, like, Cheryl would care to have both of them on the team. If she hates Betty that much, she should not want either of them. Like, okay, Veronica, you could quit too.
Yeah, but again, but if this is in the world of the comics, everybody has to do everything because there's only 30 people in the school. Nice. So, yeah. Then we see the football coach who's telling Archie that he's so good that he's the only sophomore who's welcome on varsity to replace dead Jason. But Archie isn't sure if he's ready for the commitment of varsity football.
They don't even have like a Jason sticker on their jerseys.
Yeah, that's true.
Cancel the whole season. Also, Cheryl is ostensibly a senior, right? So, like, is she going to be gone at the end of this year?
Oh. Oh, yeah, I wasn't clear on that. I thought everybody was sort of a sophomore.
But wait, Cheryl's a sophomore, but she's also like...
She runs the school, yeah.
Yeah, she does run the school because she's the one that decided they could go ahead and have the dance as well.
Cheryl gave the okay. That's true. She does have a lot of power.
And she picked the set list at the dance, so she's got a lot of stuff going on.
And I think she was above being named, like, the queen or whatever.
Nina, let me ask you another question. You know, Akiva would clearly be a mix of Dilton's looks and Reggie's personality.
Are you going to ask my weight this
time? No, I was just going to say, like, who do you most identify with in the Archie comic world?
That's a good question.
Oh, wow. I think I'm going to have to go, let's see. I'm going to go with Jughead, actually. Because, you know, it could say Betty, but she's so sad. Like when you,
but also everybody, I feel like every girl picks Betty.
Yeah, every right? girl wants.
Nobody wants to be Veronica. Everybody wants to be the girl next door. Why do we get no Jughead in this episode? Very disappointing. He's just the narrator. He doesn't do anything else.
Well, you see him in the soda shop at the end.
I think they wanted it to be like a big reveal. I think they wanted it to be a big reveal that like Jughead is the narrator.
But in the first scene of the show, we see him narrating. We see him wearing the Jughead hat. We know he's Jughead.
Yeah. But we don't
know. Yeah, and you see him in the stands.
Yeah, we see him typing. Yeah.
It's just so weird that Jughead is the narrator of, like, he's the omniscient narrator of a show that's almost entirely about a different character. You know what I mean? It's like, why does he get to, like, it would make sense if Archie was the narrator or if it was, like, a disembodied omniscient narrator, you know? But it's weird to have.
Well, they say Jughead's writing a novel. Well, so that's the weird part. At the end of the episode, Jughead will reveal that he's writing a novel, but it's actually not a novel because it's nonfiction because he's actually telling us what's happening in real time. So it's a little bit weird. Like, what universe are we in? You know what I mean? Like, is Jughead writing about something that has already happened? Does Jughead see the future? It's a little bit unclear. Is everybody else playing a role in Jughead's imagination?
Maybe it's like a Truman Capote thing where, like...
Yeah,
like
there's something going on. All right, so Betty and Veronica are trying on their cheerleader jerseys. They have a heart-to-heart. Betty's sister Polly had a breakdown. Big storyline here, which didn't even... Polly doesn't even exist in the comics. Or wait, was Polly the name of the younger sister, Nina, that you mentioned before? Or?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so they turned to an older sister who had a mental breakdown. Betty convinces, or Veronica convinces Betty to invite Archie to the upcoming semi-formal, which is for some reason the night after the first day of school. The first day of school seems to be a Friday. They have one day of school, then they have a semi-formal, then they have a long weekend. But then as soon as she's ask him...
Polly is an older sister in the comics, and her brother's name is Chick.
Ooh, that's the... Oh, so she does have all these siblings. Okay. Yeah. All right, so then we go back to the fancy apartment downtown where the doorman gives Miss Lodge a quote unquote missing bag that a driver found, and in it is a large amount of cash.
Yeah, I mean he's definitely a Madoff here. It's a Madoff situation. I do like that we get to see Smithers, although there's no Gaston in the first episode. Well, I mean, if she's really that poor, first of all, if they're that poor that like she's taking a job. At Archie's tiny construction firm, she can't afford a butler.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It makes the scene with Archie's dad makes no sense.
But now I guess she's got some money.
Maybe it's an indentured servitude type of situation.
Oh, I don't think so. Or maybe it's just like a fund is paying that. But also, like, let's get Gaston in the mix here.
Yeah, so now we're at the semi-formal. Archie decides to leave Betty and Veronica to go hit on Miss Grundy some more. And then finally, Betty and Archie are back together, and Betty's about to tell him how much, you know, how much she likes, or she does tell him how much she likes him, But he says, you know, he basically rejects her because he's still in love with Miss Grundy, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, it's really a pretty tough choice. Like, it's literally going to be a love square or triangle.
Between well, Cheryl's going to get involved also, clearly.
Oh, no question. Yeah. If this goes three seasons, Archie will be with at least 10 different women in Riverdale High.
Nina, you know, who do you want to see Archie end up with? Don't say Betty. That's boring.
No, I think him and Miss Grundy have a chance. You know, she's trying to fight it, but you can tell that she's obviously conflicted. You know, she's having a hard time.
Because he's 14 or 15 years old.
Yeah, but, you know, he has abs, as they've shown us like 8 times in this episode. So that's all that matters. Love and abs.
Yep. All right, so now Cheryl decides to create some havoc and, you know, cause some fighting. So she has a massive party back at her house. Again, it does seem very American Pie-ish to me. They're playing 7 Minutes in Heaven. Archie and Veronica go into the closet.
Also, like, it's structured so poorly. Like, it's so weird for a TV show to cut from, like, let's do this straight to that scene. It's like a drama.
It was something else in between. Yeah, they could have put you're right. They could have put, like, Veronica's mom getting the money here or something.
Yeah, and also it was like a little fat. The pilot, it was like 48 minutes, I think. So it was structured poorly for sure.
All right, so they play 7 Minutes in Heaven, and you know, they go into the closet together, and Archie tells Veronica he doesn't love Betty because, again, he loves somebody else, which we know is Miss Grundy. But then, of course, they start making out anyways. It seemed for the first like half of the scene as if Archie wasn't going to kiss her, which in an episode of unrealism, there's nothing more unrealistic than a 15-year-old boy being in a closet with an attractive woman who wants to kiss him, turning her down. Like, that's never happened in the history of the world.
Yeah. No, you would know. You're the 7 Minutes in Heaven expert, Chester.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Akiva and I had so many options when we were 15 years old. We were turning women down left and right.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe if you're Archie, no. But it's impossible to believe that. Now, we also know that Archie's very experienced already. We saw him, you know, in the back of Miss Grundy's car. But so he makes out with Veronica for a while. Then they come out, and Betty's gone.
Oh well, talk about breaking off from the comics. What really made me mad is when he came out of the closet, he didn't just have lipstick marks all over his entire face.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's an Archie rule. If someone kisses you, it's like, and also in weird places in the Archie comics, right? Yeah. It's like on your forehead and like.
You have to be very disheveled. That's true.
Like 8 different spots on your cheek have like really bright red lipstick. That's a good call.
Yeah, so Archie goes back to Pops to look for Betty because for some reason that's where you would hang out when you're really sad. You wouldn't just go home. And
it's the only store in this like town that apparently has at least 50,000 people in it.
Yeah, he sees Jughead, and Jughead tells him that he's working on a novel about Jason Blossom, and Jughead says to Archie, you know, you have to go talk to Betty. And so Archie goes to Betty's house, and he tells her that he loves her, but I'm not in love with you. You know, it's not me, it's you, basically, he says. And poor Betty, her heart is broken in the end of episode 1.
And also, the Jughead-Archie thing is clearly, like, there's a backstory that's not really explored here, but, like, they're not on speaking terms right now.
Is that it, or is it they just put Jughead in the background of this episode?
No, Keith's right. No. They do reference it. Yeah.
Oh, they do. Oh, okay. Yeah, because they're best friends in the comics.
Yeah.
So it is odd.
Yeah, but they say like
theories. Nina, what's your theory? What happened to Archie and Jughead?
Yeah, I don't know. When they're at Pops, he says something about you need to go be honest with her. That would have went a long way with me. And then they share a knowing glance. So. I imagine we're going to be getting a lot about that story.
I wonder if Archie got busted with Miss Grundy by Jughead.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, practically speaking, if you're a 15-year-old boy and you spent your whole life hanging out with your friend Jughead, and all of a sudden, super hot 33-year-old wants to have sex with you, like 100%, you're ditching your friend to go do that. So that might have
if you're Jughead, like the only reason you stop hanging with Archie is because you're at the doctor because your hand broke from giving Archie too many high fives. You know, it's like.
Yeah, Jughead is famously a hamburger sexual. Like, Jughead does not like...
Well, here's another big problem. Jughead in this first episode, like, yes, he's in a restaurant, but from one of the reviews I read that watched the first 4 episodes, Jughead is not into food. Like, that's not a big plot point. And that is Jughead's main characteristic, that he's obsessed with all food, in particular hamburgers. Like, he needs... Oh, but Nina, what do you think about his crown replacement?
I hate it.
Oh. I mean, do you think he should really be wearing a crown? Like, and they could just not discuss it? I just think
I do.
Impossible.
I think that
here's the thing. You'd have to be really cool, like, you know, to pull something like that off. By the way, Brian Moses, who we discussed in the first part of this episode, he was wearing a crown for some random scenes of a roast battle for some reason.
All right, but he could get away with it.
Yeah, Jughead's not cool enough. Sorry, he's too square. Jughead gives off a little bit in this episode, a little bit of like, you know, like the serial killer, like Columbine vibe. Honestly,
well, maybe,
to me,
maybe he,
I was very
maybe he did. I wouldn't say Columbine, especially since like the showrunner said specifically like there's no Columbines happening in the show. But
well, what do you mean? We like see people killed in the first episode.
Yeah, but he's saying like the stakes are lower. Like there aren't going to be a lot of deaths, which I'm sure they want. We can't hold them to. But that's what he was saying.
Alex here. Note, this is one difference between Riverdale the CW show and Riverdale the spoof movie trailer on Funny or Die, a link to which is in this podcast show notes, because in the spoof movie trailer, although it's very similar to the show, it has the same title, it has Betty and Veronica making out, it has pretty much everything the same. One difference is that there is a Columbine-type theme. It's Dilton Doily, actually, who threatens to shoot up the school as punishment for Veronica turning him down when he asks her to a dance.
All right, so then we see we cut to Kevin and Moose. Moose, who says he's very much not gay, and they decide to striptease and go jump in the river where they're going to, quote, do everything but kiss.
Yeah, it's a real pretty woman moment on the lake.
Yeah, it's very romantic. Glad to see that. It's tough for Kevin because he's in a world where he's literally the only gay person. So if not for Closet Moose, like in the comics, does Kevin have any significant others? Again, he came into the comics after I stopped reading them, so we don't know. Yeah but
I'm sure he does.
By the way, how heartbroken will Big Ethel be when she finds out that Moose is two-timing her with Kevin?
Oh, she's gonna flip out. I don't know how much we get of Ethel though. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Ethel's coming too.
Wait,
oh, no,
so
actually,
now
no, I take it back. I take it back. In the first four episodes, there is an Ethel.
I'm confused. There was also a Midge in the comic, right?
No, your Ethel is Jughead. Midge is Moose. Sorry, your stupidity is confused.
Oh, yeah. Ethel's the one who has a crush on Jughead. Yeah, and Jughead, again, is only attracted to food.
Yeah, but in Riverdale, supposedly Ethel does not have a crush on Jughead. Midge it is not seen yet.
Okay. And again, they're about to have sex or skinny dippers do something in the water, and they see Jason Blossom's corpse. Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention that in the first episode, they said they buried him in an empty casket because they never found his body. But here it is on the beach right by Makeout Point.
Bad job by the one Riverdale policeman to not find his body. He's right basically off the road, the main road.
Yeah. So I was just watching Stranger Things over the last few days. And so the exact same storyline in Stranger Things, actually, where a body cannot be found in the water. But anyways, bullet hole in the middle of Jason Blossom's corpse. And now we have a Jughead... telling us some very foreboding things going into the next episode. So Nina, why don't you tell us what Jughead tells us and what we look forward to?
Oh, well, now they know that Riverdale is a town of shadow and secrets, which they had said in the beginning, so that's pretty ominous. And that on Monday they're going to do the autopsy, and by Tuesday the first arrest will be made.
Yeah, by fifth period. So somebody in the school is about to be arrested, possibly for involvement with the murder of Jason Blossom, or at least knowing something about it. And Archie already said that he knows something about it.
Oh, so, I think Cheryl's. Oh, sorry. Who do you think, Nina?
Oh, well, so yeah, Nina, so who do you think's getting arrested, Nina?
Well, I'd like, going back to the story, I'd like to be Miss Grundy, really. I'm just buying all in on that storyline. Let's only talk about that. No, but it could be... let's get some Dilton Doily in the episode.
Ooh.
Him and his Boy Scout troop. He was the
Yeah, we saw him for like 1 second. I think he's Asian. They're trying to get a little more diversity in there.
what would Dilton Doily's like reason to kill Jason Blossom be, though?
Alex chiming in here in post again to point out how funny it is that even in ways in which that spoof movie trailer from 2011 is different from the show, it's actually the same. Because as I just said in my previous cut-in, in the trailer, Dilton Doily shoots up the school because he's jealous of the fact that he can't get girls. And here, Nina just speculated that Dilton might be killing Jason, and Akiva says, what possible motive does he have? Well, I think that trailer tells us exactly what it is. He's jealous of Jason because he has so many girls, and he can even mess with their heads like he does to Polly. And Dilton is jealous of that. So, yet again, this show is repeating a spoof trailer from 2011.
Oh, jeez.
Well, he's always jealous of the you know, the good-looking cool guys who are getting all the girls.
You're projecting. So, do you identify with Dilton?
Well, I'll say my favorite the one thing I remember very well about Archie's, one of my favorite storylines is Dilton loses like snow fights to Reggie and Archie and all the jocks because he has a weak arm and he can't throw. So what he does, he collects a bunch of snow and then he puts it in his freezer and he saves it till the summertime. And then he comes out and throws these snowballs. Do you guys remember this or no?
Yeah, it sounds pretty.
Yeah, he goes and throws the snowballs at them in the summer because now that it's summer, nobody can retaliate and throw bigger, you know, harder snowballs back at him because nobody else has any. So I always liked Dilton for that act of foresight.
Another thing they used to do would, like, if you got, like, you know, Archie was like 200 pages, 100 of them were recycled. So you'd read the same story sometimes from like 40 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, if you were a completist, yeah, you'd notice that eventually, I guess. All right. So Nina's prediction is that Miss Grundy's going to get arrested. Akiva's prediction is that Cheryl's going to get arrested. My prediction is that Archie's going to get arrested. My real prediction, by the way, is I don't know if I'm going to watch episode 2 of this show.
Oh, really? You don't think? I think I liked episode 1. I'm definitely willing to give it a chance for episode 2. What about you, Nina?
You know, I am going to watch episode 2. If they can keep being as campy as this first episode is and not take themselves serious at all, I'm on board. I can watch at least 2 or 3 more episodes before I would bail.
But I have commitment issues, Chester. I usually don't watch season 1 of a show until I know it's like, you know, A+ for sure coming back.
Yeah.
I rarely just start a show by the pilot. I haven't in many years, since like Lost, mm-hmm. I don't think. I've started a single show by episode 1.
So. I'm going to make – I'll say this. I'm not sure if I really want to commit to watching this every week. If the listeners of this podcast respond and tell us that they want to hear us discuss more Riverdale, then I'll keep watching. I'll keep watching so that we can keep discussing.
I know, but it won't be the main thing like this. Like it might be a 5-minute segment.
Yeah, we're not going to become an all Riverdale podcast. That's true.
Definitely not. That would literally limit our listenership.
That's a harsh, dark off season when you're diving that far into Riverdale.
That's right. I'd rather like stretch Chester's like MLS city rankings to 12 weeks.
So, but do you guys think that we're going to see all 13 episodes, or is it going to get canceled before that?
How bad did you say the ratings were in the first one, Akiva?
They weren't atrocious. Like, CW ratings are always really small, so I think the thought was, like, maybe their fan base for the, you know, for Archie would, like, explode it, and instead it was just, like, it was less than the show on Before It or After It, which was, like, I don't know the names of the CW shows. But
that's especially shocking, given the fact that, like, every website I go to, you know, Slate, New York Times, New York Magazine, they all had reviews of this show.
Yeah, but you know what? CW is catering to, like, an audience that does not read TV recaps and does not even watch TV.
But, well, that's what I'm saying. So it should have the same viewers as all the other shows on CW. Plus, it should have more. It should have us. So why did it have fewer viewers than the shows Before and After? That's so shocking and foreboding, I think.
Like, they probably advertise poorly or just kid. I'm telling you, they're trying to get to kids who are, like, all on Snapchat and not, and
yeah, these kids just don't know what Archie is.
It's true.
Yeah. But I should mention my wife is two grades, like 2 years younger than me, and she did know who Archie was. So I don't know what it was with
your wife watched the show. What were Dr. Jen's takes?
She sort of walked in while I was watching it. She saw a couple minutes of it, but she wasn't going to participate.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was afraid that if she watched the whole episode, I was going to try and rope her into the podcast. So I think that's why she.
Oh, okay.
Listen, when you're married to Archie, you don't need to watch the show.
That's true. She knows how the story ends.
She did say, oh, they put a bullet in the wrong redhead. She said that at the end of the episode. All right. On that chipper note, Nina, thank you so much for joining us. Nina, you're on Twitter at Nina Stoddard, NINASTODDARD. Is that correct?
You got it. That's correct. Thanks for having me.
What are you doing when you're not watching Riverdale?
Oh, well, now football season's over.
What's your team, Nina? What's your team?
I'm a Seahawks fan.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I go to 2 or 3 games a year usually.
So, do you root for the Falcons because they beat Seattle and you want to lose to the champs?
Yeah, I guess so. No, and they have Dan Quinn, who was our defensive coordinator. Oh,
yeah, that's true.
You know, you kind of follow those change, and since Gus Bradley is no longer, I can throw my rooting interest more behind the Falcons. So I guess I'm rooting for the Falcons. Then you can make the argument that your team lost to the team that won, but the Seahawks weren't going to make it this year, I don't think.
Right. It's not like you could say, like, oh, the Seahawks – there was no scenario where the Seahawks were winning the Super Bowl in hindsight.
Right, exactly. Like,
well, except that I picked them before the playoffs. But hold on. Nina, you just mentioned Gus Bradley. Like, what the hell does he have to do with anything?
Well, because he was the defensive coordinator for the Seahawks before Dan Quinn was.
Hold on. So you were rooting for the Jaguars for the last 4 years because of who the defensive coordinator was, like, in like 2010?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of affiliation with the AFC, and I can't watch sports unless I have a reason to root for one team or the other. So it's a good enough reason as any.
This might be like a gender thing or something. That's interesting. I don't have a favorite NFC team. I mean, I tolerate the Vikings, and I actually tolerate the Seahawks, I've said, but even though Chester's dad thinks I hate the Vikings. But I don't think I don't care. Like, I can watch many NFL games without having rooting interest, but I'll never watch a baseball game nowadays without having rooting interest. So I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, if I'm watching a football game and I don't have, if it doesn't affect my team's playoff chances, because I'm a Seahawks fan before a football fan, then I have to manufacture some reason to root.
I agree with Nina a little bit. Like, I had warm feelings to Tony Dungy and even Brian Billick and Mike Tomlin because they had been defensive offense coordinators for the Vikings before they got jobs elsewhere and, all won Super Bowls elsewhere, which the Vikings did not. But it didn't go to the extent following them. Like, I wasn't even, I barely remembered that Gus Bradley had even been in Seattle. Where's he now? Didn't he just get a job with the Chargers or something?
Oh, I didn't see that if he did.
Does that make you a Chargers fan now?
No.
Wait, he's not their head coach, though.
I really hate Philip Rivers. I'm not rooting for anything that's going on in
You hate Philip Rivers because you're anti-kids? Is that the issue?
He's slowly crawling up the coast. He's getting closer to you, Nina.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. He's going to be gone soon, I think.
All right, Nina, we'll close because it is a football podcast. Give us a score for Sunday's game.
Oh, geez. Let's go 28-24 Patriots.
Oh, I've sort of heard that score in a Patriots Super Bowl before.
Yeah, will it end on the 1 yard line again?
Is it going to be the best 28-24 Patriot win Super Bowl that you've seen?
Yes, it definitely 100% will be.
All right, Akiva, and we will save our predictions for in theory if we do a football podcast later this week.
Okay, Nina, are you a Blazers fan?
No, not since.
Are you a Sounder? Are you a Sounders fan?
No, that's Timbers, not Sounders.
No, she's from Washington. Not, she's from Oregon.
I live in Oregon, so yeah.
Oh, I got confused because she's a Seahawks fan. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just thought it was because you're dumb, Chester. Sorry.
Well, it's the dark area here in Oregon. We don't have a lot of...
Well, she's from Dallas, so that's very confusing.
Dallas, Oregon. We can give her address since you already gave her age, Chester.
I don't know. Maybe Dallas is such a small town that just saying you're from there, people can find you. I don't know.
Yeah, we got about 15,000, so it's pretty close. I'll be at the chocolate shop if anybody's looking for me.
Good way to bring it all back. All right, so once again, Nina, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Nina.
We'll be in touch if people need to hear more Riverdale. Then we might have to bring you back on to do that.
Okay, I'll keep updated on it then. That's all the motivation.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks.